good?
Thanks.
Guys, we'll call the Monday, November 30th Recreation Committee meeting to order. Hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. It's time to get back to work. Item number two will be approval of the minutes for the October 5, 2020 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Public comment period. If anybody would like to get up, give us a few minutes in public comments, we'll be happy to hear you now. Anybody? All right, nobody wanted to speak. Go to item number four, discussion and possible action regarding bird sanctuary at Lafleurange Road Park. I had asked for that to be put on. You know, we got a beautiful park out here. There you go. Thank you, Steve.
Welcome.
At Lafleurange Road. And I had a conversation with a lady a ways back about wildlife in there. And I thought, well, why don't we make the, you know, the water, the marshes in there that we can't build on anyway, bird sanctuaries. I think it'd be great. It's a great opportunity to try and protect the wildlife and show that we care about the wildlife and without really costing us any money at all. And so I thought I'd bring it before the Recreation Committee to see. We have some areas of water, as you see on here, that we could make into a bird sanctuary and put out a sign and maybe, you know, whenever we get around to get funding for this park, have like, you know, walkways that, you know, boardwalks that goes through the, over the marshes and over the water so people can have better opportunity to observe, you know, the wildlife there, including all the birds. I've got two hawks that are right next to my house and they've just had little hawks and they're always making noises, but it's great to watch them see nature out there. And I just thought this would be a great opportunity for us to do something like that for the community and for, you know, for nature lovers and without really costing us any money. So I wanted to put that forward to see what the committee thought about it and what staff thought about it.
I don't really understand what does it mean to be a bird sanctuary or what does that entail? Like, I don't understand. I mean, I've always heard like there's areas that are like that, but I don't know what that means.
Good morning, Councilman Samsos and committee members. Thank you. And that's a good question. I actually have reached out to the Audubon Society to try to find out some more information as how a designation of a bird sanctuary, what does that entail? If it is a matter of putting signage and just having an area that you don't develop, that you leave, you know, as a conservation area. Mm-hmm. But just get some information from them about that. And I haven't been able to get that information. But as Councilman Santos had mentioned, this area right up here is all a wetland area. There will be a future boardwalk going through there. It would be an excellent place to be able to, you know, preserve. I mean, we're not going to be developing the wetland areas at any rate in the future. So that would be a good location. And then we also discussed about this area over here. This preservation area. This would be another nice area that could be protected and designated as the bird sanctuary, possibly.
And I think the word protected is the word that really comes to mind when you say sanctuary. I know when we were kids, we would take our BB guns or pellet guns and go out and, you know, shoot birds and do stuff like that. And this would protect that area from any of that to go be able to go on. So. Anyhow, go ahead, Jake.
Is the Lafleurange Road Park plan where it shows the fields and the parking and the buildings. So are you saying we're not filling in any wetlands, like that's all highland?
There is some mitigation of some wetlands in some of these areas, but for the most part, these areas in the master plan are the areas where it will be. It's already a higher ground in those areas, or maybe have some minor mitigation, wetland mitigation. But these areas up here on the top will not be disturbed at all. They are completely wetlands, and they will not be disturbed at all.
Okay, so there's really you're not shooting yourself in the foot for any potential development of fields or anything.
No, and that would be a problem if we were to do something like that and try to preserve an area down in this area, because there could potentially be some future development in those areas where you may have some, you know, minor mitigation areas. But up in the top area, it's definitely a wetland and it's going to stay that way.
Okay, understood.
Jim?
So it seems to me that this is basically taking an area that's already not going to be developed and then calling it a bird sanctuary.
I think you're correct on that. It's not going to be developed. It's designating it. It's preserving it. It's going to be preserved anyway. But to actually acknowledge it as a bird sanctuary, maybe a nice touch.
I guess then I would want more information from the Audubon Society about what that officially entails and if there would be any additional cost to the town, like if there were any, you know, actions that the town would have to take to preserve it as a bird sanctuary, you know, with, you know, I just, you know, you hear stories about raking forests, right? Like, are there things that we would have to do to these wetlands in order to preserve it as a bird sanctuary? I would want to make sure that because I mean, if it's going to have boardwalks anyway that people can walk and observe the wildlife, I guess what do we gain by calling it a bird sanctuary and what do we lose? So that's what I want to understand before I can begin.
I think we gain showing the public that we care about the wildlife and we care about the birds instead of just having a marsh. I think it shows that we're bringing recognition to the fact that you know, the town of Mount Pleasant cares about its wildlife, and by naming it a bird sanctuary, we're protecting the birds or putting a layer of protection on them that otherwise might not be there. So it doesn't cost, from what I've, my research, it doesn't cost us anything to do that, just to name it a bird sanctuary. But I think it really just shows the public that we care about the wildlife in this area by doing something that protects it. Really makes it, to me, a more of appealing of a park where somebody can just walk around. And there's a lot of, you know, people who, I guess they call them birdies, that like to go out with their binoculars and look at birds and stuff like that. And this is probably a great area for them to be able to do that.
Well, one thing that I was thinking of is on these boardwalks, there are some boardwalks in town that have educational posts where there's like a display. I mean, would that be something that could be at, you know what I mean? Like something that really helps it be a bird sanctuary, and that here's a, you know, a display that shows the common types of birds that are in this area. So as you're walking on the boardwalk and you see things as a bird identification, I mean, that, like, to me, if it's going to be a bird sanctuary and there's going to be an educational component to it, that we should embrace that rather than just, I mean, if we're just going to call it a bird sanctuary, that doesn't do much for me in a way, right? If it's not going
to... Well, that's the whole idea for today was just to agree that we want to have a bird sanctuary, and then certainly they can go do the research to do what you're talking about, because they have some of those interpretive signs over at the parks, Charleston County PRC. I think Tom, you probably can tell us, they have those type of signs out there at some of their facilities, and so I imagine we would certainly do some things like that. But the whole goal today was to agree that we want to have a bird sanctuary out there in the areas that cannot be developed anyway. And so I don't know that we you know how much the signs would cost or how many we'd have to put up, or even the boardwalks. I think that's for later down the road. The idea is just that we want to protect the area and you know, make the recommendation to council that we do have the sanctuary, and so that we are protecting the wildlife in the areas where we can.
I think that I'd be more comfortable waiting a month so that we can get information from the Audubon Society so that we understand what we're recommending to council. I'd be more comfortable with that, because I mean, I'm on board with the concept of having this designated a bird sanctuary. I just want to ensure that we truly understand what that means in the greater context.
Good, Jake.
A couple of additional questions. Have we actually... has the land actually been officially delineated between town and county yet?
It has not. It has not been delineated yet. However, our legal team is working on that. We just met about that last week. Okay. Getting my weeks mixed up with Thanksgiving. It may have been the week before. But we did just meet about that. And they're drafting up some information to split that property. Because as you're pointing out, and I believe that's your point to this, is this entire property that you see on this map currently is jointly owned by the town and Charleston County Parks and Recreation. A desire to designate a split of the property, of the left side being the town's and the right side being Charleston County's, that needs to occur. So how that occurs, whether that is deeded separately or how all of that works, is being worked out right now.
Okay, yeah, because I guess that was where I was going with it, is I don't know that we can do anything with it until we officially own our parcel standalone, if that makes sense. Yeah, anyway.
But we know which this area here pretty much tells us which side we're on, which side they're on, right?
But not legally.
We know which the plan of how it is intended to be designated, that has not occurred yet legally. But in the future, we would expect that the left side will belong to the town, and the right side of the property does, as split by the road going through the property, the right side would belong to Charleston County Parks and Recreation.
Well, let me ask you, do you have any idea when they're going to come to a conclusion? I know we've been working on this for a long time. Any idea?
Well, no. there are many attorneys at the table, and I'm sure that they're working expeditiously, but they will. And, you know, if it sounds like perhaps committee may want more information, if that is so, we can bring it back next month. And if it is a recommendation to council, while that is important, the delineation, we would then go and have the conceptual plan. I'm pointing to it here, but the one on your screen, we would have a bird sanctuary put into the conceptual plan so that when money is available, it's not forgotten and we can move forward and have it considered for construction.
Okay.
I'm guessing, so the reason private developers do bird sanctuaries or conservation easements is why they officially do it is for tax breaks and tax purposes. And I'm guessing, we don't pay taxes on land anyway, so there's really no financial incentive or anything to do that. It's already being preserved because we don't have money to touch it anyway. I don't know, just throwing that out there.
Okay, so what's the will of the committee?
I think we need more information, and I prefer to wait. I would like to wait till next month so we get more information from the Audubon Society, and maybe there's progress made. If a meeting just happened between the attorneys, maybe we'll have some progress made there. But I think as a concept, I'm on board with as a concept adding it to this conceptual plan. It's not set in stone or anything like that, because we don't even know we own the land. But but I think I do want to understand more from the Audubon Society what a bird sanctuary actually means.
Okay.
And I think it's a great idea. Thank you, Councilman Santos, for bringing this up. I think our citizens would appreciate it. And yeah, I agree with both.
Okay.
Of
well, good. So do we need we don't need a vote on this, right?
No, sir. We'll just come back next month with some more information.
Cool.
Thank
All right. Item number five is discussion and possible action regarding parking at Memorial Waterfront Park. And Steve, we'll defer to you.
Yes, thank you. And previously, we were asked to gather some additional information about parking at Memorial Waterfront Park, how that may happen. As you know, we in the past had to use meters out there. It's been quite a while, I think around 2013 or so, the meters were removed. But there are other options that if we wanted to reinstate some sort of paid parking system at Waterfront Park, we could do so. And so I just wanted to give you some options, to give you an idea of some of the cost, and also some new options that have evolved over time that could be an option for us as well. So the first three, and then some of this information, they look very familiar because it was previously given on a report provided by Jonathan Kotoff. It was Trent Pagliarini when he was an intern here. He had provided some information on paid parking at the areas. And there are kiosks, gate arms, and meters. What I've added to that is the fourth column being a mobile pay app. So that you can go over some of the cost here for kiosks. The kiosk is the system where you have a kiosk set up or a few kiosks set up in different locations. A person goes up to them, they put in their parking space that they're in and put in a dollar amount or pay by credit card, and they get a ticket that they put on their dashboard. Those have costs of $6,000 to $10,000 each. There are maintenance fees. You do have to have some cellular setup for them to be able to process credit cards. Of course, there is enforcement. All of them, with the exception of the gates and arms, are going to have similar enforcement costs. That would be difficult to say exactly what that would be, but it would be the same across the board for any of them that we have. And it could be utilized at parks and facilities and roads. That sort of system can be used anywhere. a gate or arm is actually a system where you would sell some sort of, you know, just like in a parking garage, you pay to enter into an area, and the gate opens up, and then you get a ticket, and you pay when you leave. There are some advantages there because there's less enforcement, because you don't get in and you don't get out unless you've paid. So there's some cost savings there along those lines. But again, there's ongoing maintenance cost, and it would be used at our parks and facilities. It wouldn't be used anywhere else. Meters is just like what we had done before. You can see the cost is about $700 per meter, but that's each location, each space would have that. So the cost would be very high. We have over 200 plus spaces out there in current parking, and there will be additional parking to be added on in future. Again, that's what we have used before. There are maintenance costs, and you have parking and enforcement. People come by to make sure the meter hasn't expired, issuing tickets or citations. The mobile pay app seems to be one of the strongest options and the newest option, and that's a setup like we have got information from Passport Parking and also from the Pay Mobile. And it's kind of a different app where you have an app on your telephone, you pull into a parking space. The only expense that you really have at those locations is signage. You have signage that designates zones. You go in on your phone, you enter in what vehicle you're in. I'm in a Toyota Sienna, and this is my license plate, and here's my credit card, and you pay by the hour, whatever the hourly rate is. And any transaction, Pay Mobile would receive 35 cents per transaction. So the company that provides us receives 35 cents. That would be added on to the rate that the customer pays. So if we say it is a $2 an hour parking fee, the customer would be charged $2.35 as a convenience fee for processing. There is no maintenance in such a case. There is still the parking enforcement, and it can be utilized in different locations. I went and got some little bit of information from just local cities and just what they're charging. I believe previously, I'm not exactly sure, somebody with a better memory might know on that. I believe we were only charging 50 cents an hour previously when we were charging for the parking at Waterfront Park. So certainly prices in surrounding areas would be more than that now. In Charleston, you pay $2 an hour for parking. At Isle of Palms, it's $2.50, and at Folly Beach, it's $2 an hour. So somewhere in that $2 an hour range would probably be expected. And again, you would have enforcement on that. Enforcement, without enforcement, nobody pays for parking. So there is an enforcement cost. So the cost of an hourly expense of somebody coming through there, whether it's through the police department or a separate parking enforcement person that's hired, they would need to go through there regularly in order to ensure that people are paying their fees and they would issue citations as necessary. That's the information I have.
Okay.
Let me go to any questions.
So a citizen reached out to me that there's actually, in these mobile pay apps, there's a way to be connected to the database of driver's licenses for a town to where you could provide free parking, say for the first 2 hours, to residents of a town. So when you put in that driver's license number in the app, if you were a resident of the town, you can trigger it. Like I guess in Miami would be a town maybe to reach out to, or Miami Beach, it's only $1 an hour for residents and it's like $2 an hour for non-residents. And in some places it's the first half hour free or the first 2 hours free. So I really like the flexibility of these mobile pay apps to where we could enable our citizens to utilize the parking for free, at least for the few hours. And I think, you know, Gary, you brought this issue up before, and I think you're really right about this, which is when all that stuff goes in at Patriots Point and all the Ferry Wharf and all that, we're going to start having an issue with the parking with the free parking at Waterfront Park. So I think this is something we definitely should explore. But I do think that maintaining it as free for our residents is an important component of that for me.
Me too. Jake?
I guess my question is just that, which kind of problem are we trying to solve? Is it about generating revenue? Is it about, every time I've taken my kids down to the playground, I've never had an issue parking. So I don't know if it's about that or if it's trying to, I guess, yeah. So are we trying to generate revenue? Or are we trying to somehow limit the parking so that people can get in and out? I guess I'm not sure.
I think GM just, you know, hit the nail on the head, so to speak. As Ferry Wharf is being built out, those folks are paying, I think, $8 an hour for the garage. People who will be visiting the stores and stuff that they have there, if they can just walk across the boardwalk, they can park free in our park, and then they'll do that. They're going to save that money, and even people who are working there that maybe have to pay, they're going to come over in our park. If you go down there now, look how many cars are there for people who are just walking the bridge. I mean, there's a lot of cars down there, which is great. We want people to walk the bridge and ride their bikes. But there's a lot of cars already down there for that. Now, if we're building phase three over there, those cars are going to take up a lot of space for our citizens to be able to come down and use the park. So already I see that happening because I go down there and look where it's starting to build up because of the people walking and working out on the bridge. I can see that effect in our phase three. So anyhow, the key is, I think it's a little bit of both of what you're saying. I think people were going to take advantage of free parking from over at Ferry Wharf. They're going to come over there because they just walk across the boardwalk and they're right there. And the fact that people using the bridge and coming to our park to work out as well will also take up more parking so that our citizens won't have an opportunity to be able to park there. So, that's kind of my thinking. And it's not so much the revenue, although revenue is in high demand these days. And so, yes, it'd be nice to be able to get some revenue out of it. But I'm not saying, you know, that we're planning on trying to, you know, fill the bank up. You know, I think it's more about protecting the parking for our citizens and giving them an opportunity to have a place to park down there than having people who are visiting parking and then going off to other places and leaving their cars on our park.
So I know you showed the numbers for how much it cost initially, and then there's enforcement and all of that stuff. And is there a way to do like a full cost-benefit analysis with how many parking spots we have and what our potential full cost could be versus revenue we may generate? I mean, I see this information, but it's hard to interpret. I'd hate to go down that path, and then we end up we're spending a lot more money than we're getting back.
Certainly, we can do a more detailed cost analysis and some points that I wanted to bring up. There are very few costs that are associated with the mobile app, and it does offer a lot of benefits because there are we didn't specifically in our discussion with our representatives that we were speaking with talk about some of the things that you had mentioned. But there was a lot of flexibility, and I'm sure those sort of things could be implemented. One concern that I did want to bring up, and you know, it wasn't a selling point from the salespeople with the mobile apps, but it is something to consider, is that if you have a mobile app system, while it's virtually free to establish, with the exception of signage, you are saying in that case that in order to park there, you need to have a phone to be able to pay. Now, we know that almost everybody has a phone to be able to pay. Is it a requirement that you have your phone with you when you drive to the park, you know, to be able to pay? If somebody drove there and didn't have a phone with them, there wouldn't be a method of paying. So some places do operate where you have both, where you have mobile app parking, but you have a kiosk somewhere if you need to, so somebody can pay at a kiosk if necessary. That is something to consider. Some of the mobile app operators are saying that, well, some people are still doing that, and other people are getting away from doing that and going entirely mobile app. But you do eliminate that option if somebody shows up there without a phone and to be able to pay.
Yeah, I agree. Isle of Palms has the kiosk. And they don't have that many of them. I mean, I want to just say there's like three or four, I think, going right down Front Beach. And people will walk from wherever to them to get that to put on their dashboard. So they're still being used. So that's probably a good idea to at least have one kiosk there for somebody who doesn't have a phone, right, or somebody who's left their phone at home or something.
it may be something that you would want to consider.
Yeah.
However, with the kiosk comes the greater expense of establishing them and maintenance and everything else that goes along with the kiosk.
And Mr. Chairman, I think to proceed with something like this, in my mind, I think committee would have to be willing to match the parking being charged at Ferry Wharf. To not do so may not discourage the parking at the waterfront park. It would still be cheaper. So if they're charging $2 an hour, I think it is over there, we may have to do something of the same. The people who happen to work there and happen to be local, happen to be residents, utilizing the technology that you mentioned, Ms. Whitley, then they would definitely park there because there'd be no charge.
Well, the first 2 hours, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, not like all day, I wouldn't say.
Okay.
No, that's a good idea. Okay, so
I guess in order to proceed further, I feel like we would need more information from probably Chief Ritchie as far as what would be required. I mean, it's not a big enough area to have, you know, to where you're hiring your own meter made basically for that area. So it would come down to the police department to, I don't know, periodically enforce. So I guess getting his opinion of what that could potentially look like and what that costs in real dollars as well.
They go down there already. We have a substation there already, right at the building where the store is. And when I'm down there, I see them ride through periodically anyway. It's not like they go down there and get out their car. But one of the things I think Steve was telling me with the mobile app is there's something that you can do as you go by, you know, and it checks the cars as you go by. Right, Steve? You could probably explain that better than me. Something that they can ride by and scan the license plate as they go by, and if there's an issue, you know, then they can see it. They don't have to even get out their car.
Right. Enforcement is explained that it's typically done by a tablet. They just simply carry a tablet with them that will show each vehicle and any that have signed up that have used the pay app. The pay app will show that they are expired or not expired. And they'll show all the vehicles that have paid. If they see a vehicle and they don't see that vehicle shown on the tablet, they would know that would be one that had not paid. Or if they see a vehicle that is on the tablet and the time period had expired, they will be able to see whether it expired or not.
So they don't even have to get up the car. I'd like that idea that,
I suppose you may need to get out of a car unless everybody's parked, if they park backwards and you can't see the license plate or that sort of thing, it's a possibility, you know, that you may need to identify a vehicle.
Or to write a ticket.
Okay. Committee, any ideas? Do we want to try and look more further into the mobile app? I think that's the most popular one. I think the least expensive one for us as well.
If I could go back for a second, when Waterfront Park first opened, it was paid parking. Why was that removed?
It was the will of council. It was.
I think it was the will of the mayor more.
Well, it may have been, and don't quote me, it may have been 5-4 to charge parking. And then after an election, it was 5-4 to remove the parking. It was very tight on both sides.
And do you remember, I mean, do we have numbers on how it performed? I mean,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I remember. It netted us about $50,000 a year.
Oh.
And that was after all in the gross, including the acquisition cost of the machines.
Okay.
Yeah, it were $50,000 per year. And then when it was voted to not continue with them, we sold the machines. And that was that.
Okay.
$50,000 a year is basically could be a salary for an employee. So, anyhow, thanks for that, Eric. Appreciate that information. I don't know how y'all want to proceed. If you need any more information, do we want to look into the mobile app a little bit harder and see more about that? Or
I like Mr. Rambo's idea of doing a more in-depth cost-benefit analysis with the cost of enforcement and the cost of maintenance and transactions.
Yeah, and we'll, if you'll allow us, we'll use some discretion on utilization. That's going to be the big number. And the administrative cost is going to be bigger than the police cost, I suspect.
Yeah.
Just to manage it and the accounting for it and the dispute resolution and things like that. So, but we'll put it all together and bring it back along with the bird sanctuary information.
And then as far as just kind of where I am on it, if it's just kind of an across-the-board cost, like our residents pay, everybody pays, then I'm most definitely against it. I could be open to it if we can figure out a way to where residents are, like you said, I don't know, the first 2 hours free, maybe something like that. I could be more open, I think, but I definitely am against just a straight-up across-the-board paid parking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, when I, every time I've brought it up, I've always said residents pay for, come free.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's never been said that, that the residents pay. It's the people who use it that aren't residents. So kind of like Isle of Palms is doing. Anyway.
They do that.
Anything else, guys? I want to make sure we don't make everybody fall behind here on committee day. You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item number six is program and projects update.
Very well, yep. As you see, you received your the Recreation Committee report, and our athletics is doing very, very well. We have the registration has been going very strong, with the exception of a decrease in soccer, almost all of our other ones have increased, and wrestling has gone down some as well. But doing very well in those areas in our sports. Facility rentals, as you can imagine, our facility rentals are down some over the previous year, over 2019, but have started back up again. We're renting facilities very well. Swim lessons and senior memberships are down some. But what I want to speak to is some of our special events and activities that we have going on. I was very, very excited, very pleased with the holiday, the Park West Fall Fest that we held a couple weeks ago out at Park West. It was a really a nice event. It was kind of our in lieu of Children's Day event. It was a smaller scale activity. It was held at nighttime, which was kind of neat to do it at nighttime. We don't do many like that at night. We had glow light golf, putt-putt golf going on. We had some rides going on. Had a virtual roller coaster that Councilman Santos can attest to, and had a lot of fun on that that he rode. And it was a very nice event. And it was put on well, and it was the right size event. It was people came out, the community enjoyed it, had a lot of fun, but it wasn't something where it was overcrowded in it by any means. We have some of our upcoming events that we have. I want to mention that the Holiday Farmers Market Craft Show is going to be on December 12th, followed on the 13th by our parade. We're excited and we're ready to go. Expecting big things for the parade, expecting a great time for the community. Our numbers of floats and entries, as expected, is going to be down a bit as from previous years, but it's still going to be a nice event for the community, so looking forward to that.
Steve, what when you say down a bit, I'm curious, do you...
I believe we're hovering around 60 participants, right around 60.
Normally
we would be closer to 100, 105, 110, yeah. Something like that. So we're down a little bit from normal, the number of entries that have signed up. Is it right at around 60? Okay.
Yep. Well, we lost one.
Okay. So. We do have a dive-in movie at the Jones Center on December 18th. And I want to mention we also have been using the skate park ever since we had our PARD grant, and we were able to get lighting at the skate park, and that's really opened up to be able to use that facility at nighttime. And we have the holiday half pipe at the Jones Center on December 18th. It's kind of a nice nighttime event. Make people come out and have some music, have some food trucks out there, and it's always a nice event when we've been holding these. So, any questions?
No, I'd just like to say thank you to staff for the great job y'all did with the Park West and the kids. That was a blast. I walked around and just watched them, and everybody had a great time. Parents, everybody had a good time with that. So as usual, you guys, hit it out the park and did a fantastic job. So I want to recognize staff for such a good job that y'all did on that.
It was excellent. Good job.
Excuse me, sir. Did you have something to say?
Yes, Chairman,
Wait a second, come to the podium, and give us your name and address real quick.
Cy Prokaski. And I noticed you had public comments at the very beginning. I thought they were corresponding to last month's minutes.
It's okay.
I guess I should have come up earlier. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you personally and the whole Recreation Committee for providing for pickleball for us senior members here. I don't see any seniors here at all, but anyway, we appreciate what you guys do, the courts at Marion Brown that have been fixed up, and maybe could be a thought about the same lines that you were talking about, evenings or holidays. I know you got to provide somebody to be there, but on a Sunday, for example, Sunday afternoon, when it's this type of weather out here, it'd be great if you could provide either the Town Hall or Park West a few hours of recreational pickleball.
Well,
nevertheless, I do appreciate what you've been doing so far.
Thank you very much. You'll be happy to know in our phase three, we'll have some basketball courts, but we'll also have them painted out for pickleball as well. So we have more pickleball courts on the way.
Yeah, I understand in Midtown out there between 17 and full something something, there's going to be another park.
Well, we're working on that, hopefully. But okay. But this one down at this park down at the foot of the bridge, phase three is going to be done before then. So we got more on the way.
Well, thank you, Gary. Chairman, I appreciate that.
Sure, you're welcome. Okay, anything else for the good of the cause? All right, folks, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.